AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Good to be with you today. Indeed. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Before we get to Democrat of the Day here, Brett, Molitor gone as the coach of the Twins.
Terrible decision.
What do you mean?
How is it his fault? They only won seven fewer games than last year. Look at all the injuries they had.
They
traded all their guys too. Yeah.
I'm going to say this very delicately. All right. Cause I know that you seem to be very passionate about this.
I'm not super passionate, but it's
he can't manage. And I'm sorry. I don't think he can manage. And
I will admit, I don't watch many games, but I'm just looking at the surface.
I have absorbed more baseball in the last 5 years with my son playing than I care to admit. I always loved baseball. Always was a Red Sox fan, loved Carl Yastrzemski, loved the Twins, grew up, saw two World Series championships here. It was great. From the get-go, there were little things that he just didn't do, which you were just head scratchers, like, why are you doing that? The last one was, there's a kid that came up pitching his first major league game. He can get the win. He's got a cushion, a nice cushion. He's pitching well. All he has to do is go one more inning, and for no reason, because it's not like you're developing players in late September, for some reason, Molitor just pulled the kid just to be a jerk. And I don't know why you would do that. I mean, that Puerto Rico series we had earlier this year, I was stunned at how many bad moves he made in those games. I mean, he just was like, what are you doing, man? And they were real head scratchers. He's like a lot of very good players. I think that some of the stuff, the little minutia stuff, escapes him. And
he still took a pretty lousy team to the playoffs last year, though.
He actually had some players on that team. That just, Escobar and Dozier being gone. I mean, that's a little bit of a hit. Anyway, we'll get more on that later. I could talk baseball all day.
And people love sports on AM 950.
Oh, they sure do. I'm getting ready for those emails coming up here in just mere moments. To 24A we head to. This is down in the south of the metro area, including the fantastic city of Owatonna. We are heading on down to Joe Hegard. He is joining us as Democrat of the Day today to talk about his campaign. Joe, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
My absolute pleasure. Of course, it's you're just south of the metro area. Like I said, I mentioned Owatonna, but also Waseca is also in your district, correct?
Right. Owatonna and Waseca, those are the two main towns, but also including seven rural townships. And Steele and Waseca County.
It is relatively close to the metro area, but I would still say this. I mean, I talked to a few of the districts that are just north of you, and I said, you're kind of becoming part of the metro, and whether you like it or not, I don't know why. For the life of me, I don't know why people would drive that far. But your district, I can guarantee, it is not part of the Twin Cities Metro. You are down there. It's a lovely part of the state. I do love going down there. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be down in your neck of the woods coming up this weekend.
Where are you going?
I'm going to be in Owatonna. I'm visiting some friends down there. And also, I might actually head over to Waseca because I have I've got a friend over there apparently they went and picked some apples. And I need to – he called after I mentioned the
apples. You and your apples.
I love the apples. But he did actually mention it, said, I got some apples you need to get. So I might have to run down 14 to go over to Waseca to get some there.
Well, it's a wonderful area. You know, we're just maybe less than an hour south of the metro. We got Rochester to the east, Mankato to the west, very centrally located, easy to get to everything. And it's a beautiful area.
Well, why don't you give everyone a little background? Who exactly is Joe Hegard?
Well, Joe Hegard, I grew up in Austin, which is, further south from here. I was the youngest of seven kids of a union meat packer. It was kind of back when a union meat packing job could afford you enough money to feed seven kids. My dad ran the big spam cooker at Hormel in Austin.
Did he?
Yeah. He was a spam cooker guy. So every half hour they said he had to stop the machine and open up a can of spam and taste it and make sure it was okay. So you can bet we never had spam at home.
I love that job, by the way. I love the sounds of that.
And, you know, my mom was a bit of a social justice warrior on her own, and I think that's where I got my values of, you know, fairness, honesty from them. Let's see, after high school, I joined the Army and went off, and I was gone for many years, traveling all over the place. And about 20 years ago, I decided to change careers and came back here and got into IT and settled down here, live in Owatonna with my wife, Myrna. And we raised a couple of daughters here in Owatonna, and now they're grown and gone, and I've got a little time on my hands.
I'm the youngest of seven myself. I also was U.S. Army, too.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. No, thank you, sir. And indeed, I appreciate that as well. So I never realized how much I was raised, and I love spam. And I also never was realized how much I was raised as kind of with my liberal progressive mentality until I got older. I realized my parents had raised me right. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, spam will do it.
It was a spam. This is why Minnesota is a great place, kids. Just know this. And Hawaii, for some reason. I'm not quite sure.
And
there,
Hawaii.
But, yeah, so.
More popular in Hawaii.
So you had, so your kids have moved on. Is that really what was the instigator for you? What made you decide, you know what, 2018, I'm running for 24A?
No, you know, I think it was just, you know, a few years ago, I just decided, and I think probably me and a lot of other people in the country decided, you know, we just need to start getting more involved. Need to start doing something. You know, my snarky Facebook comments are super hilarious, but they really weren't just getting anything done, you know. So I started showing up and raising my hand, found myself, you know, all of a sudden I'm a precinct chair, and then my wife and I are, you know, delegates and then state delegates, and then I'm on the county DFL board. And then this spring I thought, went to the county convention down here in Steele County and found out that our incumbent had no opponent at the time. So at that point, I kind of thought, well, I guess maybe it's time to put up or shut up. So that was it right there. Hopped up on the stage, raised my hand again.
Well, and you want to know the truth is, and I want to say something here. I am so darn glad you did, because I think part of the problem the Democrats have had is in past election cycles, there are multiple races in outstate Minnesota where there's no opponent. And not only does that not give the local district a choice come election day, but it also allows the Republicans to divert all the money from that race and throw it into other races. So that when you actually have a competition, that it basically forces them to be honest in the district, and they just can't take it for granted.
True. Well, I don't think they can take this one for granted.
Well, and
we're working hard down here.
Well, and I'm presuming, you know, I'm looking at your district here, and this is back in 2016. Once again, that was a Republican year with Trump coming into the presidency. It was a 56-43, but as we have seen nationwide, it's a 20-point swing. This seat is very much within play as the challenger. That's why it also is kind of you know, I'm glad you stepped forward, because the fact that this was a seat that potentially could be won by the DFL, you know, that's that we need to have someone running down there. Have you been going around in the district? I mean, I imagine the door knocking has been, you've got two larger metros in your district. So imagine there's been quite a bit of door knocking for you.
There's a lot of door knocking, but you know, a lot of the door knocking for me is pretty concentrated. You know, it's too main towns, you know, other than the rural areas are harder, but there are some districts that are so rural that people have to travel so far to door knock.
Oh yeah.
So I've been door knocking since April, because I was in the primary, so I had to win a primary first. So I had no time to wait. So, we're very heartened by what we're hearing at the doors. I'm hearing people that are saying, I mean, I've literally had a lot of people say, you know what, I'm an independent, and I don't vote for a party, and I vote for the person, but not this year. I'm voting straight Democrat this year. I've literally heard people say that.
Well, thanks.
That's true. That's good.
That's
now go vote.
You know? Absolutely. And I mean, that's something you're hearing, you are hearing a lot more of, is that, you know, it's, you know, and I'm presuming healthcare, like pretty much every other district, that's been a main issue there. You know, it's after being promised for how many years, oh, you're going to get better healthcare, cheaper healthcare. The fact is the Republicans at the state level and nationally, they have failed yet once again. And I think for a lot of people, that's the turning point, is that, you know, we finally gave you the majority to do something, you didn't do it. And so now basically we're looking at more expensive healthcare, less coverage, pre-existing conditions, the choice of bankruptcy or death. And I think that that's really kind of what's hit to home, is the fact that people are asking the question, yeah, why can't we have affordable healthcare in this country?
Well, you know, it's not only healthcare. I think, you know, after I decided, said, okay, I'll run, you know, it was a kind of the middle of the 2018 legislative session. And as that session went on, it just became more and more evident that just nothing was happening. Nothing was being done. No one was addressing healthcare. No one was addressing education funding. You know, it just wasn't happening. And I like to tell the story, you know, all of a sudden, nothing's happening. It's infuriating. All of a sudden, one day, front page story is, they passed something. And you know what they passed? It's now illegal in Minnesota to buy a service dog vest for your dog if your dog's not a real service dog. Like, okay, people are dying, you know, so that just infuriated me. But, you know, you mentioned healthcare, and I think the media, I think that's, you know, the most popular idea is that healthcare, but here, when I'm knocking on doors here, the most important issue I keep hearing is education funding, which is surprising to me. But that's what I hear most of, and I've spoken to a lot of people here. So, you know, I have kind of pledged early on that, you know, I'm going to take this job title seriously. It's representative, you know. So what are the people concerned with?
Well, I think when you talk about education funding, I think there's an undeniable problem in education funding. And it's not just rural schools, it's inner city schools as well up in the cities. There has not been the attention paid in St. Paul to fixing the funding issues so that the education system moves as smoothly as possible. And funding in rural counties is different than in the metro area, but they're both having the same problem, is that the funding is not working as it is currently set up. I think definitively, I mean, as you talk about representing your community, if you're hearing about that a lot, that's something that can be tackled by the DFL, and I think be tackled effectively.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's, you know, it's just not fair to farmers to expect them to kick in an inordinate amount of property tax for some school funding, school bond bill. You know, it's, you know, richer communities can afford property tax increases. Poorer, more rural communities cannot. It's just not, it's not equitable.
And it's, and it's a case where, and obviously, as you mentioned there, I mean, we've talked to a lot of outstate Democrats who are saying, our schools were built in 1920, 1930, and sure, there have been some renovations, but you said the exact thing. I mean, when people say, it's to a point, it's arrogant in the metro area when people say, well, if they want to have better funding, just pass a referendum. Yeah, but when you're talking about mostly farming communities, rural communities, and they're already kind of counting the pennies there, because the property values are not equivalent to an Edina or a Minnetonka, for goodness sakes. That is not a viable option of continually going back and dipping into the well. And it's easy to see why referendums fail in rural communities, because the fact is that there's just only so much, you know, butter to spread on the bread there.
That's right. That's right. You know, it's still, you know, I was talking with a corn and soybean farmer a week ago, and I would have thought, you know, his priorities would have been, say, elsewhere, education funding. It was what he was concerned with, and making sure that we get proper education funding. And how do we do that? By changing the way it's done. I thought that was tremendously interesting.
Well, and reminder, we had a Republican Party in this state where not that long ago, Tim Pawlenty threw the entire education budget into a future fiscal cycle just because he couldn't balance his budget. So that that tells you how little they care about it. They're not going to fix this problem. They're not going to fix healthcare. And going back to what your comment was about the process here, when you have omnibus prime, I mean, I've talked to a few of the sitting representatives and they said, you know, is there anything that was worse than having a bill where there were elements of that bill where every House member voted yes on that bill, but because Kurt Dowd and the Republican leadership in the House refused to individualize those bills, as the Constitution in the state says they have to, and put them out there, there's a lot of good things that could have been passed, more than dog vest call, dog vest for service animals,
and
that had never had a chance because they became poker chips in a stare down between Kurt Dowd trying to force Governor Dayton's hand on to sign a bill that was obnoxious. So I think the process is broken when Republicans are in charge.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. It is a fantastic district. I'm presuming you do have my love of apple orchards aside. I'm presuming that you do have a lot of volunteer opportunities and a lot of great things to do in 24A, that if someone wanted to come on down from the metro area, volunteer, door knock, phone call, help you out in any way, that they could do that for a few hours and then go have fun in 24A.
We could even find some apples.
I mean, there are very good apple orchards down in your neck of the woods. That's for sure. We got
nothing but volunteer opportunities. I could use all the door knockers we could get. Absolutely.
And also donations. And here's the point in the conversation. I always say the same thing. Help your local Democrat, of course. But if you're in a district in the metro area where you've got a relatively safe Democrat, well, great. Help them out and then get out into a red district and help an outstate Democrat. This blue wave is not going to happen by social media posts and bubblegums and prayers. It's going to happen by knocking on every door in a district and letting them know the DFL is a viable option. And I guarantee you, they'll get a lot more done for you than the Republicans have. That's for
sure.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
How can people get in touch with your campaign, Joe, if they want to help out?
Well, my website's pretty easy. It's joehegard.com. JoeHeegard.
.com. There you go. We'll link to that and all the social media stuff a little bit later on this afternoon. Joe, all my best in 24A. You're an absolute.
Matt.
Yes, sir.
Can I share a quick story with you?
Sure, by all means.
I just want to, a couple of weeks ago, I just met so many. This has been so rewarding and met so many great people out knocking on doors in the area. Just a couple of weeks ago, I knocked on a door and this woman came out and she said, "What are your thoughts on gun control?" And before I can even open my mouth, she said, "About a year ago, my daughter called me screaming because she was crouching at an outdoor concert in Las Vegas while bullets were raining down on her. And I couldn't believe it." So the woman here, Owatonna, and yesterday was the anniversary of that shooting. I stopped by their house last evening, just let them know what I was thinking. It's just so upsetting. And one other thing I want to mention about things not getting done. This past year, the Democrats tried to introduce some legislation banning bump stocks and never even got a vote. Nope. So worth a mention.
And you and I are Army. I have seen, I am seeing what these weapons can do. I know how lethal they are. These were designed to kill human beings in combat. And the idea that we allow these things to be sold en masse in our streets, even when we have these massive shootings like Las Vegas, if we don't fix this problem, this will only get worse. And I agree with you. We have to make as much as the gun lobby has been working as hard as they can to basically ensure these slaughters happen on an almost regular basis, if we don't step in there and start trying to address this issue, it's a tough issue. It's not going to get fixed.
Got to fix it somehow.
Absolutely.
Okay, Matt.
Joe, thank you very much. Thanks for the story. All my best to that family. If you get the chance to stop on by again, tell them I said all my best as well. And all my best in your race down in 24A.
Thanks, Matt.
Okay.
Take care now.
Take care. Joe Hegard, Democrat of the Day for your Tuesday. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am awake.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. He's exactly right. If we do not do any reminder, Tony Cornish walked out of, in disgrace, walked out of the House, pulled all the Republicans aside and said, don't you ever dare weaken gun laws in this state. Don't you ever dare. He applauds because we talked about the Las Vegas shooting. Even in your most dystopian pro-gun world, what in God's green earth did you think the crowd that was being shot at could have done? Open fire on a Vegas Strip hotel with weapons that were designed to hit targets at 300 yards from a 600 guard range? Wait, you're going to end up killing a ton of other people. This was a man who built an arsenal, who wanted to create a slaughter, and read up not enough about it to realize that if he went up a few floors in a hotel and shot down on a crowd, he could actually cause insane amounts of carnage. And no, you with your little side pistol that makes you feel like you're the tough guy would not have been able to stop him. This constant idea that guns have to be everywhere. No, guns need to be regulated. They're incredibly dangerous. I was talking about this with my daughter, actually, in regards to another issue, which is major, opiates. I mean, would you ever have someone say, well, don't regulate the pill. The pill didn't do anything. It's those addicts that are the problem. No, the drug's addictive. And if you ask me personally, I think guns are addictive. That's why you got these loon balls that have full arsenals in their houses. They think that it makes them tougher to have more of them, and they become addicted to the guns. The gun is a dangerous, lethal weapon designed to kill. We have these weapons because we have grossly distorted the Second Amendment beyond any comparable time in our history to mean that we should have floating armies in our streets. Well-regulated militia, the right to bear arms should not be infringed, but the right to bear arms is still intact. with. If you want a personal defense pistol, I would never have them, but you can have those. And a hunting weapon. The Supreme Court's already ruled on this, that there is nothing in the Second Amendment that tells you you have to have an Uzi. You have to have an M16. You have to have a submachine gun or a bazooka. There is nothing in there. It just says that if, as long as you're able to go buy a gun, your rights are not infringed. And so if you want to get a personal defense pistol, and I disagree with those, as long as, and personally, I think we could put into state law regulations that demand hours of in-class training, hours of out-of-class training, and frankly, I think we could make laws about how the these weapons are stored. Oh, I get it. Oh, I get it, gun guy. Wait a minute here. What if I'm in Nakatomi Plaza and Hans Gruber and the terrorists are taking over the tower? Am I supposed to run back to my room and open up my gun safe and get my gun out? Oh, I might as well be dead then. Oh, who's the safe guy now, huh? Huh? Touche. I'll let you get back to putting down your cheese-covered pretzel and then grabbing your weapon to save the day there, McClain. We have to have common sense gun control, and we don't talk about it enough. And we unfortunately, I'm as guilty as this as anyone else. We generally only talk about this when there's slaughters. This should be a major issue this election cycle. Common sense gun control. Common sense gun control, health care. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you what. We'll come on back. This election actually boils down to very simplistic terms. And if you are a smart Democrat, you don't need any fancy schmancy kind of campaign. You can hammer these guys just simply, really, with two issues. I'll talk about that when I do return. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I'm John Peterson from Ferndale Market, and we are celebrating 10 years of featuring local foods at our on-farm store and providing our free-range turkeys at your favorite local restaurants and retailers. We would like to thank you for your support with an anniversary party at our farm in Cannon Falls on Saturday, October 6th. Join us for complimentary turkey hot dog lunch, local food sampling, live music, and a festive day in Cannon Falls. We're grateful for your support of our independent family farm. To learn more, visit our website, ferndalemarket.com.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Rudy Luther Toyota has a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota certified used vehicle dealers in the country. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers. They offer a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty, feature incredibly low interest rates, and all their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. And right now, they are paying top dollar for your trade-in, even if you didn't buy from them. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
At Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies today with a high near 59. Tonight, rain with a temperature rising to about 62. Wednesday, a chance of rain with a high near 78. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high around 51. Coming up this Saturday, Ferndale Market is celebrating making 10 years of good, delicious, clean food. There will be samples from their local food partners, a complimentary lunch featuring their turkey products, live music, gift baskets, a raffle, and much more. Takes place this Saturday from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find more at ferndalemarketonline.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Programming brought to you by Crooners Lounge and Supper Club, the local Minnesota.com restaurant of the week. Fantastic music, great food out there. Try the risotto. It's delicious. Walleye is also quite good there. I had the walleye one time. It's fantastic. It's situated on Moore Lake Highway 65. Dinner, dancing, and a little great music for your evening. It is Crooners Lounge and Supper Club, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week, 952-946-6205. So I was reading a little bit about the AG race here in the state, because it really is about one of the more interesting ones we do have. Of course, after the DFL had done their initial investigation and came back with the claims against Keith Ellison were unsubstantiated, they agreed that they would hand over their investigation to law enforcement for them to take a look at. Now, Hennepin County actually decided there'd be a conflict of interest there. So what they ended up doing, it sounds like the Dakota County Sheriff has agreed to review the information that they're handing over. Now, once again, Brett Kavanaugh, Mitch McConnell, Chuck Grassley, Donald Trump, they don't want real investigations. They don't want real looking at this. They want to do the bare minimum. As a matter of fact, McConnell's trying to even get this vote done prior to the investigation being finished. The sham investigation that has been set forward by the Republicans. They don't really want anything to be looked at here. At the same time, the same Republicans all screamed about Al Franken should resign without an investigation because these charges are very serious. They're hypocrites. And if you are accused of something, and this goes back, and I know this is, once again, we're not a sports station, but this goes back to when people were being accused in baseball of using steroids. And there's a sports guy out there, Jim Rome, and he actually made the best point. If someone accused me of something I hadn't done and I knew I was innocent, oh, guarantee you, I would be hauling anyone and everyone down to, in this case with the steroid testing, you know, a drug clinic. I'll take some blood. I'll go to the bathroom in the cup. We can test it. And we'll wait here and we'll all get the answers together. And the fact that these people would go out there and argue, oh, well, I'm appalled at this argument, but I'm not going to get any further investigation. Well, that tells you a lot there. Keith Ellison and the DFL did their own investigation, said that things were unsubstantiated. They're handing it over to the Dakota County Sheriff. Keith Ellison himself has gone over to the House of Representatives, where he is currently a sitting representative, and has asked them to investigate this claim. That's not the signs of someone who feels as if they're guilty. And that's just that. And so, you know, once again, a lot of that hinges on this alleged video that the accuser says, Monahan says she still has, but she doesn't want to show. But, you know, if you've got the video, and, you know, this is about your integrity now at this point. 952-946-6205. So the Attorney General's race is kind of a unique one in the sense being, and also the race itself. Wardlow is making the argument that I'm going to be neutral on all my rulings. No, he's not. He's not even going to be close. He's already said that he's going to use the Attorney General's office to fight against the women's rights to choose in the state of Minnesota. He's already said that. I mean, I'm going to use the Attorney General's office to shut down all clinics in Minnesota. That's what he wants to do. He'll sue the state to try to get them on board with Trump policy. He'll sue the state to prevent quality education reform from happening. He'll sue the state to try to stop broadband expansion in the state. He'll sue the state to basically ease up on water restrictions in the state. That's what he's going to do. You know, that's just kind of the Republican mentality. And if you look at attorney generals out there across the country, that's what they all do. So his argument, I'm going to be neutral, I doubt it. I really do doubt it. And so, you know, you can have this discussion in the AG race, but when it comes to the rest of these races, this isn't rocket science. Back when the beginning of this year started, and I was talking about, guys, just run against Trump. Seriously, run against Trump. I would get people like, Matt, if you do that, it's going to be the worst losses ever for the Democrats. Most of the time, people telling me that were Republicans. And the reason why is because they themselves know Donald Trump is not exactly a great thing to run with. I mean, you can't, you know, do you see any Republicanisms in the suburbs of Minneapolis, St. Paul right now? Do you see, where is a Republican in the metro area with a lawn sign that says blank, blank, proud Republican?
I will say I did find one Neuberger sign near Lake Minnetonka.
Oh.
One.
I'm saving Trump.
That was the only one I've seen.
I think Sarah Anderson up in Plymouth. I was up there. Kids had a soccer game up at Wayzata, and I saw one of the Sarah Anderson. Hers are at least red. I don't know if they say Republican on them. But there are very few. These Republicans are terrified of being Republican. Look at the Eric Paulson ad campaign. Eric Paulson's campaign boils down to describing Dean Phillips as a Republican while he tries to pretend I'm really a Democrat. When was the last time you saw a Republican lawn sign that wasn't purple, green, or orange? I even saw one Republican lawn sign that had a deep blue to it. I mean, it looked like a Democrat sign. They're terrified of being associated with Republicans in the age of Trump because they know Trump is wildly unpopular, especially in the suburbs. It might fly. I mean, Neuberger's got tons of signs. I've had plenty of people show me signs out in rural Minnesota. That doesn't surprise me. Trump signs, Neuberger signs, Jeff Johnson signs, Housley signs, that doesn't surprise me. But when it comes, and Wardlow. But when it comes to the metro area, they're terrified of being labeled Republican. And that's because they're terrified of Trump. And it's healthcare. Folks, it's healthcare. We have done 61 of these Democrats of the day. 61. Almost every one of them has said, when I am knocking on the doors, the first issue or second issue I hear is healthcare. And why? Why are they listening to this? Is because the Democrats passed the Affordable Care Act and immediately lost their trousers to the Republicans in 2010. And the Republicans were promising we'll repeal the Obamacare, we'll repeal Obamacare. Paulson, how many times did he vote to repeal Obamacare? He's out there, he has the audacity to talk about Dean Phillips and misrepresent his part-time employees, whether or not they got health insurance. He has the audacity to criticize him. How many times did Eric Paulson proudly vote to get rid of Obamacare? 50? 50 or so times? He doesn't want to get you to have health care. And the Republicans took their voters and they said, just keep voting us in, we'll eventually get a win. And so in 2010, and 2012, and 2014, we still got Obama, but get us a Republican and we will guarantee you, you'll have better health care that's less expensive. There. Promise. This was their promise. And that hope, after 8 years of saying, okay, well, the Affordable Care Act was at least going to get me some flu shots and at least allowed me to go to an emergency room and at least allowed my kid who has what's been described as a pre-existing condition to get medical care. So you're saying it's going to be cheaper and better. Okay, I'll still rail against the Democrats as long as you deliver on your promise. And the Republicans failed spectacularly. And as a matter of fact, they're terrified of the issue right now. They are terrified. They are praying that you ignore this issue completely this election cycle, or that you basically feel as though somehow the Democrats want to take away your health care. The reality is those two issues, Trump and health care, this isn't rocket science. The Democrats have a history They have a history of trying to get affordable health care to everyone. The problem with America isn't with health care in America isn't that it's the quality of health care. It's the best in the world. It's the accessibility, which is the problem. It's the cost. The Democrats are trying to solve that problem. The Republicans want health care to be something like out of Altered Carbon, where it's only available to a select few. By the way, go watch that show. That show is nuts. Actually, don't watch that show. It's really a hard R-rated show, FYI. Not for the kiddos. But this is the world that we're in. I mean, keep it simple, stupid. That's the whole thing. Keep it simple, stupid. If Republicans, I've often wondered, you can play this hypothetical game all day long with Republicans, especially because the Republicans are phenomenal at their belligerence. If you think about Donald Trump, if Donald Trump would have come into office and said, you know what, pulled all the Republican leaders inside and said, here's the deal. I am not only looking to win this term, I want to win a second term, and I want an actual decent legacy. How about we pitch an expansion of Medicaid, Medicare, a single-payer system, and put healthcare out there, get Romney in here, because Romney did the same thing in Massachusetts. We can spearhead this campaign. We will get them better health care that's less expensive, and we move forward. It's the one issue we concede on, but this one issue, we will be the party that brought health care to America. Right now, this would be a very different country. Right now, that even with the rest of the crap that went on with Trump, with Charlottesville and Kavanaugh and the lies and the sex tapes and all that stuff. I don't know the sex tapes. I mean, there's the alleged tape, but the sex with, you know, all sorts of family value Christians, I'm guessing. I don't know. That seems to be his, you know, parameter for you guys. But if he would have done that, if he would have embraced single payer, I don't know if the Democrats, what the Democrats would be doing right now. I mean, what would you be doing? I mean, you'd be wondering how you're going to win your race. I mean, almost every suburban race would be leaning Republican right now. Almost every outstate race would be almost a shoo-in for the Republicans. They'd be looking at possibly having the largest majority in the House and the Senate they've had in decades, if not ever. Instead, because their donors matter more than anything else, they didn't see the opportunity that was in front of them. Same thing with this Kavanaugh stuff. You just scratch your head at this. You guys are actually saying, hey, a little sexual assault or allegations of sexual assault, that's no big deal. Clearly the guy's got a chronic drinking problem. Clearly the guy's got a chronic drinking problem, and he lied 30 times under oath to the Senate. This is not a guy that should be on the Supreme Court. This is not a guy that should be on a basketball court. He's got some serious problems. But because you guys are, you know, you could come on out. I mean, the minute that Dr. Ford, you realize that Dr. Ford had some legitimate, you know, allegations here against Kavanaugh, you could have come on out and said, you know what, we are not going to go down this road. This is still a negator as far as Supreme Court seat. I mean, the same party that tried to prevent Sonia Sotomayor from being on the Supreme Court because they said, and they did, she was a feisty, spicy Latina. That had, oh, we can't trust her with her judgment on the Supreme Court because she's a Latina. That was their argument. That was their freaking argument against Sonia Sotomayor. Insanity. But here they are. They have an opportunity. They just can't get out of their own way. They're just so blinded by their own belligerence. It's amazing. Healthcare, Trump, healthcare, Trump. Throw some guns in there too. Common sense gun regulations? Absolutely. If you make this election about Trump, healthcare, there's not a seat we can't win. And that means getting to every door in the state. People, blue waves do not happen on their own. If you want to win in Minnesota, if you want a Minnesota House, you want a Minnesota Senate that will be Democrat. If you want, you know, seven of the eight seats in the state to be Democrat. You want a governor's, attorney general, you know, secretary of state, auditor, all Democrat. Well, then get out to every door in this state and say, healthcare. Go say, where is the healthcare they promised? Cheaper, better healthcare. Democrats were trying to give you better healthcare. They promised for 8 years. They didn't deliver. Put the Democrats back in charge. We'll do what we can. It's that simple. It's that simple. It's low-hanging fruit. Don't get in. Don't get all tied up into to nuanced arguments about deep policy, healthcare, Trump's legacy. Done. Bon appetit. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I think I am going to address the new disgusting trend from the Republicans in regard to Kavanaugh. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Join Quorum as they celebrate their 25th annual National Coming Out Day Luncheon, presented by U.S. Bank. This inspirational luncheon gives voice to the power of living openly, honestly, and with authenticity. Coming out still matters, and the National Coming Out Day Luncheon is a reminder that doing so creates new advocates for equality. Reserve your tickets today for this event on Thursday, October 11th. The National Coming Out Day Luncheon will be at McNamara Alumni Center this year, 200 Southeast Oak Street in Minneapolis. The luncheon will go from 11 a.m. to 1:15 p.m. with tickets available to members for $59 or non-members for $69. Guest speakers include Tom Hoke, Ann Deist, Minneapolis City Council member Philippe Cunningham, and youth advocate Manolyn Houle. Quorum depends on the generosity of its sponsors to continue providing the highest quality of service, so please consider signing up for one of the sponsorship levels or sponsoring a table at the luncheon. Learn more or purchase your tickets at TwinCitiesQuorum.com. That's TwinCities, Q-U-O-R-U-M.com.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
It's grilling season, and Vinaigrette has some sizzling recipes to inspire you. How about summertime grilled fajitas? Just create a marinade with our golden balsamic or champagne vinegar and chili garlic or jalapeno olive oil and marinate beef or chicken. Add red onions, red, green, and yellow peppers and throw them on the grill. Or try grilled steak brushed with our truffle or garlic olive oil. Visit us at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior or online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Saturdays at 1 p.m., you have a chance at a fresh start, a new beginning. Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. for New Beginnings with Freddie Bell on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Thanks to Todd Collett, who is sponsoring AM 950, 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885, if you'd like more information about that. He, of course, is with the band Just Folk. They got a new album coming out. Protest or Survive is their first single off that album. That album will be released hopefully later on this month. They're hoping that either tomorrow or Thursday they might have the second single available. We'll post that up on social media when that does get there. If you would like to see Protest or Survive, you can go to either the Twitter feed or Facebook. Matt McNeil Show, Progressive Citizen X on Facebook, and on Twitter, it's the Matt McNeil Show, and go over there and peruse. Thank you very much, Todd. I did want to mention this. Seven Minneapolis-St. Paul airport workers were fired Friday for exercising their freedom and practice their religion as protected by the law. The workers, who are Muslim, were employed as cabin cleaners by a Delta subcontractor, U.S. Aviation. Two of the fired workers will speak out at a previous planned event on Tuesday that's calling for a $15 and a union at the airport to win better lives for working families. The workers will be joined by faith leaders and community supporters who will call for Minnesota's employers to have respect to the freedom of every person to practice their religion. How is this? this possible? Seriously, how is this possible that you could have someone fire people for religious reasons and think they could get away with it? I'm sure that the company is going to come on out with something, but it sure sounds like there seems to be some evidence to support the workers. We'll have to see how it plays out, but if in this day and age, if this is the case, then there needs to be a lawsuit filed here. If this is the case, then I'd be shocked if there isn't going to be a lawsuit filed in that case. 952-946-6205. Brad is in Robbinsdale. Welcome on in, Brad.
Yes. In regard to Kavanaugh, I mean, setting aside any of the sexual allegations, I mean, the thing that I thought was most disturbing was these partisan comments in his presentation last Thursday, and especially when he threatens that, you know, what goes around comes around.
Oh, yeah.
And I think this could be some type of, threat in regarding, again, any type of impeachment or legal proceedings against Donald One Inch.
Well, okay. You got your joke in there, Brad. Thanks. I will say this about Kavanaugh. His clear partisan hackery should be actually a negator. When he comes out and says there's a conspiracy by the Clintons, well, that should have been the end of him right there. But I think that aroused many of the white Republican men on the Judiciary Committee personally. Lisa, Jason Lewis is calling himself an independent voice. I'm surprised that Paulson and Lewis haven't come on out like out of a VW van dressed as hippies going, hey, dude, you know who's trying to crush our buzz? It's those guys, Angie Craig and Dean Phillips. We're just peace-loving hipsters, man. We're just love and peace and all this stuff, man. Why are you trying to harsh our buzz, dude? Seriously, guys.
That is a disturbing image of Eric Paulson, to say the least.
I thought my improv skills were bad, guys. You can't pull this one off. One thing I want to make sure I quickly mention here, because we're at the end of the show. Apparently, there is this new conservative ideal that the most of the women who are saying sexual assault happened to them, rape, sexual misconduct happened to them in some capacity, that the vast majority of the women that are saying this are making this up, that it didn't happen, that it's just basically this is a bunch of lies. That's why we have to protect white wealthy boys who basically perpetrate this crap. No. No, it's not. I think we're seeing the real world for what it is. We're seeing a world that it needs to die. This idea that with white, wealthy male status, you have a different set of rules than the rest of society has. That you can sexually assault people and there are no consequences for it. And how dare you people imply this is happening? How dare you imply this is all being made up? You guys have fallen so far from your once high perch. You've really become something disgusting and something horrible and something really, really atrocious. And I don't know what to do with you guys anymore. You hate Democrats more than you love the well-being of your life, this country, your religion, your children, and apparently your own spouses. Dear God. All right, Hunter and Brett up next. We're back tomorrow.